This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Perek Yud Mishnah Aleph. This perek delves further into the law of Tzamid Pasil, which in this one we are familiar with. That is, that again, the Pasik in Chukas, when discussing the laws of Tumas Meis, states that if there is a mace, a human corpse, in the same room, then kokli pasuach asher ein tzamid pasul alav tamehu. Every open vessel, which has no covering fastened to it, becomes tameh. The pasuk implies that those vessels in the room with tzamid pasul, with a fastened cover, do not become tameh. Even though the law of tumas meis, tumas ohel, says essentially, we view it as if the mace came into contact with everything in the same room under the same halachic ohel. So how do we understand this law, that if a particular vessel is a sealed cover, that it doesn't become tameh? So Chazal explain what kind of vessel is it referring to. It's discussing the klicheres, an earthenware utensil, which is distinct in that it does not contract tumah from its exterior. If some source of tumah literally touches the outside, it doesn't become tameh. It is only asher yipol mehem el tocho, where the tumah source, the sheretz, let's say, falls inside of the klicheres, that it becomes tameh. And so Chazal explain what the Torah Chukas teaches is that if a given klicheres is tzamid pasel, is covered and sealed, then the tumas meis does not enter the klicheres, hence it or any of its contents do not become tameh. We learn in this first Mishnah that the earthenware utensil is not the only type of utensil to which this law applies. The Mishnah says, Elu kelim matzilin mitzamid pasil, the following utensils shield their contents from tumah. Once again, meaning that as long as the utensil has a properly sealed cover, the things inside are protected from tumah. All of the utensils of the list that follows, except for one, which is really just a variant of klicheres, all the other ones are utensils which are not susceptible to tumah whatsoever. And so it's like a kal v'chomer. If the Torah says that the klicheres, which is susceptible to tumah, but since its exterior isn't, if it's sealed shut, it protects its contents from tumah, well then surely if we have a given utensil which is of a material that is not susceptible to tumah at all, then if that's tzamid pasul, if it's sealed shut, it will protect its contents from tumah. The list is, we have clay, galolim, utensils made of dung, clay avonim, or of stone, clay adama, or unbaked clay. Unbaked clay utensils are not susceptible to tumah whatsoever. It only becomes a klicheres, which could become tameh once it's fired in the kiln. And then, of course, we have the prototype case, classic case of tzamid pasul, of klicheres, or the word utensils. But as we saw in Perek Beis Mishnah Aleph, the sidekick, if you will, other type of utensil that really is synonymous, it goes along with klicheres, is uklei neser. It is simply a different type of earthenware utensil. But it's not your regular clay, it's either alum clay or a kind of chalk. What is your klicheres and clay nes are synonymous. These two types of utensils can become tameh if the utensil was completed in the kiln, but only from their outside. And so once again, if it's tzamid pasul, if it has a fastened cover, it and its contents would not become tameh. And then we have atzmos hadog ve'oro, utensils made from the bones of fish or its skin, or atzmos chayesh biyam ve'oro, or bones of some other sea creature or its skin. The utensils made of any of these materials are not subject to tumah whatsoever, and therefore, if you have things inside and there's a sealed cover, the contents are protected from tumah. And then we have uklei eitz ha'tahorim. If we have wooden utensils that are so large that they're not considered halachic utensils, they're not subject to tumah. The halacha, in the case of all of the aforementioned sealed shut utensils, is the matzilim. They protect their contents from tumah, so that even if there's a mace in the same room, the contents do not become tameh. And the Mishnah says this applies bein mipiem, bein mitzidehen, whether the cover is sealed to the top or the side. Let's say there's a hole in the side of the kli. As long as that's covered and sealed, the contents would be protected. The Mishnah adds that the current position of the kli doesn't make a difference. It says it will protect the contents bein yoshvin o shuleyen bein mutin al tzidein, whether it's resting on its bottom or on the side. But now the Mishnah presents a case which is the subject of a dispute, and that is hayukfuyim al pihen, regarding if any of the aforementioned utensils was turned upside down. And so the opening is pressed against the ground, and then the person added a seal of clay all around the circumference. And so the ground, as it were, is sealed to this, let's say, earthenware utensil. Here the halacha is disputed. First opinion says, Matzilim kosha tachtein adatahom. The utensil protects its contents from tuma even in this case. And not only that, in this case, since the ground itself functions as the cover of the utensil, so it's not since you're part of the utensil, the halacha therefore is that the section of ground covered by the area of the utensil is protected from tuma going all the way down to the deep. That is, this first opinion is saying that normally the halacha says that if, let's say, there's a mace in a tent, that then not only is everything in the tent tame, but the tum also goes downwards. Everything beneath the mace, if there's something buried underground that's susceptible to tumma, that will become tame as well. Tanakhama says that in our case, though, where this particular section of the ground is joined with a kli that's not susceptible to tumma from the outside, so it's a component of its summit puzzle, the halach is that that section of the ground going all the way down to the deep is shielded from tumma. However, Rabbi Eliezer mitame. Eliezer rules that the law of tzamid pasul does not apply in this case. Rabbi Eliezer argues that when teaching this law, the pasuk refers to a cover that's fastened onto the utensil. Here, it's just the opposite. The utensil is fastened onto the cover, which in this case is a section of the earth. So that's not the kind of situation the pasuk was referring to, and therefore the contents of the vessel are not protected from tumma in this case. But the halacha is in accordance with the first opinion. The Mishnah concludes by teaching a distinction between the extent that the klicheres or klineser is matzel, protects the contents from tumma, versus a utensil made of any of the other materials listed above. And that is, the halacha is, and in the case of nearly all of the utensils listed above, al hakol matzilin, they protect any type of item that's inside of the sealed utensil that's susceptible to tumma, whether that's food, drink, or even smaller utensils of any material. But again, that's true of nearly all of the utensils listed above, chutz miklicheres, except for the earthenware utensil, and along with that would be klineser, neser, and cheres are basically synonymous. The klicheres in practice does not save just anything inside, any kind of item that's susceptible to tumma. Rather, the Mishnah says, She'eina matzel ella ala achlam vela mashkin vela klicheres. The only items that a sealed klicheres protects from tumma are food, drink, or smaller earthenware utensils, but not smaller utensils made of anything other than earthenware. For example, a small metal utensil. In practice, even if that smaller metal utensil was inside of a sealed tzamid paso klicheres, which was in the same room as a mace, the small metal utensil inside is considered tame. We learned about this in the previous Perek Mishnah Beis. This is a rabbinic decree that has to do with the issue of possibility that people who are careful with the laws of tumah might borrow utensils from those who aren't as careful. If we would allow the full biblical law of tzamid pasul to apply, to say that anything that's found inside of a sealed earthenware utensil is protected from tumma, you could end up with a situation in which Nama Aretz had a metal thing inside of a sealed earthenware utensil, and he assumed that, okay, it's fine, it was inside of a sealed earthenware utensil. But in reality, the chaver, the more careful person, has to consider that earthenware utensil is tame. Consequently, since a tame sealed earthenware utensil cannot protect its contents from tumma, from the perspective of the chaver, the metal utensil inside has tumas mace, and so you can't just solve the problem by putting in the mikvah. It's more complicated to get rid of tumas mace. So the Rabban essentially said that we suspend the law of tzamid pasil when it comes to protecting metal utensils from tumma. But the concern is not relevant to let's say, smaller earthenware utensils, because in any event, the chaver wouldn't borrow those from the Amoretz, because he can't, you know, deal with the possibility of tumah by immersing that in the mikvah. Nor is this rabbinic decree relevant where the larger utensil is made of anything other than cheres or neser. If it's, let's say, made of a stone, and so the point is the outer utensil isn't subject to tumah whatsoever, there is no possible concern, because it's simply impossible for the outer utensil to become tameh. And so if that was properly sealed and there was a whatever inside of it, even some metal utensil, indeed, in that case, the metal utensil is protected from tumas meh. So the Amoretz would be correct in assuming that the metal utensil there doesn't need to be sprinkled with the parduma waters. It didn't become tameh with tumas meh. So the rabbinic decree does not apply in that case. What is the rabbinic decree? The rabbinic decree is that in practice, any non-earthenware utensils that are inside of a sealed earthenware utensil are not protected from tumas meh.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.